You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, the dynamic duo, bringing it back, Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky. We are going to be talking about the Clippers. We're going to be talking about the Houston Rockets. We're going to be breaking all of it down here today. But first, I just want to, again, apologize. Sorry that there wasn't a podcast yesterday. Just technical difficulties got in the way of putting one up. But we are back and better than ever this morning. Trey, the Timberwolves won. They won a game. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, they won a game. And it's kind of funny that our Friday podcast, Monday morning podcast was sort of bleak. We kind of went on this, I went on this tear of talking about a potential downtrend from here on out, maybe a tank if needed. The only thing that I said that would stop us from getting in that mindset, it would be essentially winning against the Clippers and Rockets, just because these are two potential playoff teams. And the Clippers, who just fell out of the 8th seed going to the Kings because of that loss to the Timberwolves, gives Minnesota some confidence. It was a great basketball game, especially getting a double-digit win. It was 10 points, but it was a double-digit win. And 130 points is a lot, but it got it done.
Well, and to beat a team that has one of their better players in Lou Williams put up 45 points is pretty impressive. But also, if you look at that team, what the Clippers did, they had, five guys in double digits in that game, including Lou Williams, 45 points. So really impressive performance. They had a crazy performance from their bench. I mean, it was a really good game by the Timberwolves because the Clippers really did throw plenty at the Wolves. And, I mean, they shot really the 41% from three-point range, shot really efficiently from deep. And the Timberwolves still were able to keep their heads above water and stay with them and stay ahead.
Yeah, and it's funny because Los Angeles has been known, the Clippers have been known to be a deep team. They've been known to be like 12 deep, essentially, over the past two seasons. And trading Tobias Harris really hasn't changed that. They still have a very deep basketball team. Like you said, they have five scorers or six scorers in double digits. And their best scorer was off the bench from Lou Williams, and he had one of the best games of his season, if not the best. But if you go over to the Timberwolves, they had five of their starters in double-digit points, and they had two bench guys. Like, they looked like a deeper team, and that was a surprise. To kind of start this off too, Dario Saric getting the start in this was huge for me. I think that I felt validated a little bit after 17 podcasts saying Dario Saric should get a starting nod here. Now, I'm not sure how well it's going to work in the future, but this was a pretty good example of what could be. But in that first quarter, those two early fouls, I was biting my tongue, Colton. I was pretty nervous. But Taj Gibson came in there and scored 10 points in the first quarter. Gave great relief to Sarge with those fouls, got in foul trouble pretty early. And it wasn't just Sarge. Towns got in foul trouble too. So it was kind of messy in that first quarter. I was getting worried.
Yeah, yet again, another game where the Timberwolves big men get into foul trouble. And here's the conclusion I've come to on Towns, is that I think now, take it easy, everyone, but I'm not comparing Towns and saying that Towns is the same kind of player as far as just talent and expectation as LeBron James. He's not going to win a ton of titles. He's not going to be the best player in the world. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying is that because he plays so far away from the basket and then can crash towards the boards, because he can do so many things, because he's so big but also so quick, I think, like LeBron James, he's really hard to officiate. And so people complain about LeBron James not getting fouls because he's really hard to officiate, but he's a superstar. They're not going to call that on him. I think Towns needs like another year and a half before he starts getting the benefit of these calls rather than is subject to them. But it really feels like they just don't know how to officiate Towns because of how quick he is with his size, because of all the stuff he can do. I get it. There's some undisciplined play from him. There is some plays where he just kind of plays a little sloppy, and that's why he gets fouls called on him. I get that as well. But I also think a lot of these, because it's so consistent, I think a lot of these are because he's really hard to officiate because of his size and speed and versatility. And that's the conclusion that I've come to after watching these ridiculous amount of fouls over the last couple of months from Towns.
Absolutely, and I think a lot of it has to do with he's gotten quicker, so he's testing that out this season. He's trying to get to the basket more, even some give and goes here and there. I do really like that he's getting to the free throw line more so than ever in his career. He's having a crazy free throw year. I think he's averaging around 90% from the free throw line this season, which is really, really impressive for a big man. I'm pretty sure he's top 10 in the league in general of all players. So that's really, really impressive. And in this game where he only played 26 minutes, somehow in these five foul games that he has, he still puts up 24 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and he's just efficient. And so obviously that kind of production is what Minnesota needs from their max guy especially. But turning to the other max guy who was out for this game, Andrew Wiggins, who really, credit to him, does not miss basketball games. I think this was only his fourth game he's missed in his career. And he missed this game, and Luol Deng got at the start in his place. And it's funny, Colton, I feel like we've been talking about this a lot now, but Wiggins, his arch nemesis right now this season is himself. Like, his high volume shooting is killing him, and it's good. It's good to see the differentiation of shots here on this roster. Looking up and down it, like Derrick Rose leading the team in shots does not affect me too much because we need that kind of like last second shot guy, and it was Wiggins, and obviously we need to spread that out more. But seeing guys in the double digits in shooting, like Deng, Teague, Sarge, Towns, Rose, Gorgui Jang, all these guys had 10 or more field goal attempts. That kind of diversity on the stat sheet is going to hopefully lead to wins. I really think that if we can somehow mess with Wiggins' shots, mess with what he does on both ends, kind of keep him more off the ball, do more cutting, we just need to take the ball out of Andrew Wiggins' hands more, I think, in the near future, or at least something with him in this lineup, because obviously, without him in this lineup, we can still win big games. So I think there's definitely something there. But I hope he's back next game or tonight, and we'll see how he plays against the Rockets.
Yeah, you're definitely right. It's nice to see a little bit more of a shot distribution, a little more versatility in just how they're using players and seeing them switch it up just a little bit. And I think they took advantage of the illness by trying a couple different things, especially as the game went along. We're going to keep talking about the Clippers, but first, let's take a break for some sponsors. Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, breaking down the Los Angeles Clippers win. I wanted to ask you before we move on, the illness to Wiggins happened like, it broke like 2 hours before that game. It was not something that was kind of floating around all day. It was pretty early before the game. What do you think about that? Is it kind of weird or is it just sick?
Ooh, I like the hot take illness. It's tough because obviously if this was around trade deadline, I'd be like, what's going on? And then, you know, with all this drama on this team, it could be anything even after trade deadline right now. I'm just going to, you know, assume that it's been pretty cold where Andrew Wiggins lives. So I'm going to assume that he probably came down with a flu cold in this one. And he's being ruled, I think he wasn't at practice yesterday, so he's probably being real questionable today. I do not see him playing since he wasn't at practice yesterday. It wasn't just that he did not practice, it was that he wasn't even present at practice. So I'm assuming that he's pretty sick right now. If not Colton, you could be sitting on the biggest hot take story in quite a while.
I'm just curious. It's a funky team that has funky things happen to it. Maybe anything's possible, as KG would say. Anything's possible. So we'll see how that develops. But definitely keep your eye on it. My spidey senses are going off just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Sorry, before we leave this Clippers game, can we just talk about Lou Williams for a second? Holy crap, man. Like, what? That guy does not get enough credit. Like, I know we got to come away with a big win here, a double-digit win. Obviously, we should be more positive for Minnesota. But shout-out Lou Williams. That guy's a bucket. He's crazy.
Yeah, I was terrified every time he touched the ball in that second half. Like, it seemed like he was going to be – I mean, in the third quarter, he had 13 points alone. And in the fourth quarter, he had 21 points. Jeez. That's ridiculous. And he shot 64% from the field in the fourth quarter and 50% from three. I was absolutely petrified of him the entire second half just because I was like, he's going to do this all on his own. He doesn't even need a team. This is ridiculous. Like, especially in transition, there was no stopping him. But he was just – he was so quick getting the ball down the court. And the other thing, too, in that second half, because 34 points in the second half, but he also had three assists. He was also facilitating a little bit. And so he was just – he was creating basically all the offense. I mean, when you're responsible for 40 points in that in a second half, you're basically running that team.
Yeah, it was just crazy how it looked like there was no effort into it. I just saw Montrezl Harrell, like – like kind of like walk around the perimeter with the basketball, see Lou Williams in the corner, just kind of dump it off to him, just like kind of like a hot potato pass, and Lou Williams just shooting those threes from the corner. I thought I saw that like four times in the fourth quarter, and I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, if the Timberwolves didn't have some good late fourth quarter minutes there, and shout out Derrick Rose for those last 4 or 5 minutes, he had some crazy shots in there. And Karl-Anthony Towns as well. If those guys didn't get those buckets, I'd been really nervous that Lou Williams would have been going for 50, and this could have had a different turnaround. But ultimately, we came away with the win. It was a really good game, and now I'm excited for Houston because this could be the game changer tonight, Colton, in terms of playoff standings. Because if we're looking at these standings, everything's a little wonky right now. We've been joking around with the idea that LeBron James-led Lakers could not make the playoffs because LeBron James just always makes the playoffs. But, Colin, it's starting to look like the LeBron James-led Lakers are not going to make the playoffs. So we are currently 4 games back from the A seed. The Lakers are 2.5 games back. They're kind of have to be that hump that we have to overcome to get to that 8th seed. And it's going to start with Houston tonight, Colin. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's more than a chance that the Lakers miss out on the playoffs just because if you look at the final leg of their schedule, even though it's pretty home heavy, it's pretty much as tough as the Timberwolves schedule finishing out the season here. So they are going to have to pull some magic just like the Timberwolves are going to have to pull to try and get into the playoffs. And the advantage I think for the Timberwolves is that there's a lot of stuff going down in that locker room right now. I mean, you hear the players, Rondo, Ingram, talking about kind of what it's like and how it's difficult to be on a team with LeBron after all that trade talk from the Pelicans. But even Rondo was saying, like, that stuff doesn't go away at the trade deadline just because nobody got traded. Like, that stuff's still there hanging in the locker room. And so knowing that as they try and make a playoff push, I don't know. LeBron James is going to win you a lot of games. But I think that an advantage for the Timberwolves is just that they don't have as much chaos in the locker room as the Lakers have right now.
Yeah, and I don't want to make this a hate on LeBron and James pod, but I've always felt this way about LeBron. Like, I mean, it's like it's pretty evident, and we have enough evidence now to show us that players just feel uncomfortable around them because they never feel safe. But not they never feel safe in like the Michael Jordan way, where all the players physically not feel safe, where they were like, I don't know what's gonna happen to me at practice if I don't go to work today. With LeBron, it's like the most indirect 21st century passive aggressive way possible, where it's like, I don't know if I'm going to keep my job. I don't know if I have to sell my house if LeBron James doesn't see me playing at a high level. And it doesn't even matter if it's a high level at this point. LeBron James just wants stars on his team to play with. And so I get these guys being frustrated. And honestly, it's the best thing that could happen in Minnesota right now. Because if you see who's above them in the standings, you have the Dallas Mavericks, okay? Who have the same record as Minnesota, so you can definitely see them overcoming that because I don't think a Luka and Tim Hardaway Jr.-led Mavericks team is going to make the playoffs, so you can kind of see them popping over Dallas fairly soon. If anything, they should be trying to tank a little bit to get a higher pick. actually, I think it's, oh, that's going elsewhere. But then you have the Lakers, who we just talked about. Then you have the Clippers, who obviously we watched last night. We could win without our best defender and Andrew Wiggins. And then the Kings, who are currently sitting in the eighth seed. That's the only team I get nervous about is Sacramento. They're a really good basketball team. And it'll take a lot of for Minnesota to overcome this kind of downtrend they've been on lately to be a better basketball team than the Kings right now, because frankly they're just not a better team. So they have to step it up in games like Houston tonight.
They do have to step it up against Houston and really have to they really have to pick up some wins against tough teams here, and while beating Houston is unlikely, they have to pick it up somewhere. So we're going to talk about how they can find a win against Houston, but first we're going to get to another quick break for some sponsors. The Timberwolves are taking on the Houston Rockets tonight. Trey and I are about to break it all down and give you the insight that you need for this game. But first, before you do that, just remember, when you hop in that whip of yours, make sure you're yelling at your Bluetooth, your smart speaker, somewhere in that car, something's going to play the Locked On Wolves podcast. So tell it to play the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we will pop on, because it's way better to listen to our podcast than the radio or the music. So much better. Such a better choice. Way better to do that in traffic than anything else. So make sure that you are telling your car once you get in to play the Locked On Wolves podcast. The Rockets playing the Timberwolves tonight. Chris Paul, James Harden. They haven't played a ton this year. Played 30 games, and out of those 30 games, they're averaging 48.6 points per game when they're on the court together. They're shooting 46% from the field, 34% from three. They're getting to the line a ton, obviously, with James Harden out there. That's always a thing, but almost 11, that duo is getting to the line almost 11 times per game. It's just a buzzsaw to go against James Harden, Chris Paul. And we were talking about this before the show. You kind of think that maybe there's a little regression when Chris Paul's out there on the floor and not everything runs through James Harden, and just how that might take away from him and that crazy run that he's been on. But really, you were looking at the stats. The only thing it really takes away is assists from Harden.
Yeah, and that seems to be the only thing that's faltering at this point right now. I actually think with this James Harden craziness, that's kind of just like, you know, putting a shadow over this basketball team of how really bad they are. This team is like really, really bad besides James Harden. And obviously they have Chris Paul. Clint Capela's hurt, so when he comes back, it's going to be better. But just, you know, Kenneth Reed was a solid pickup, but Eric Gordon has had just such a terrible past two seasons. PJ Tucker is in a shell of himself. Amon Shumpert has a good game every five games. Gerald Green, same thing. Austin Rivers, actually, I enjoy watching Austin Rivers. The fact of the matter is he is not consistent. They even play Isaiah Hartenstein a lot. Like, they just have a weird lineup of, like, seven shooting guards and two power forwards and, like, one small forward. And it's just – it's very awkward. And I'm not really sure what they're going to be able to do against Towns. Like, in this game, you just can't let Kenneth Reed bully Karl-Anthony Towns. If Karl-Anthony Towns gets bullied by Kenneth Reed and gets into foul trouble early, I will just be astonished, dude. Like, I cannot imagine that happening. Like, I really see Towns playing a lot of bully ball in this one. And obviously Dario Saric, too, which would be a huge game for him, because I don't really know if P.J. Tucker's going to respect Dario Saric's game. He's probably going to fly a lot elsewhere on the court trying to get Towns to help defense. Because that's what they've been doing since Capella's been injured. But they play a huge small ball, or sorry, a very small ball lineup. But the game is surrounded by James Harden, essentially. He's a great player. He's probably going to win the MVP this year for the second year in a row. He's going to get his 30 points in this game. But Colin, I'm looking at the next three games for this Houston Rockets team, and I'm thinking that we could maybe start James Harden's regression tonight, because he's playing at Minnesota. Then he's got the Lakers in Los Angeles, and then he's got the Warriors in Golden State, right? That's all in 4 days. That's a lot. So I feel like we've been waiting for the regression to happen, and obviously I'm biased, but it could happen tonight. I wouldn't be surprised. Minnesota's on an uptrend right now with that past Clippers game. Obviously, defensively, it wasn't a great game. We let up 45 from Lou Will. But I think we could start something tonight. I feel like if we switch this defense the way we've been doing, and if Andrew Wiggins out and we kind of get more guys, more minutes – we could see something special happen.
I'm more of the mindset in this one that they need to pull the old one hurts you but doesn't kill you kind of trick, where Lou Williams has 45 but nobody else has 20, or when they play Kyle Lowry, they do a good job of letting Kyle Lowry go off and nobody else does anything. I'd be fine if Harden drops 38 and they can keep everyone else to 15 or less. And I think that as long as you're playing discipline, I mean, here's the thing, is that when they trapped, when Denver trapped James Harden at the top with a big guy in Jokic, and they trapped with Jokic and another guy, Harden at the top, or two long forwards, and just really made it tough for him to see the floor. I mean, Chris Paul was out in that. It was in for that game, too. And just really made it tough for Harden to see the floor. Kind of took him out of it until, like, the fourth quarter, really. And so I think that if you're just really aggressive around Harden and trap him, or if you just say, all right, we're going to play man-to-man on Harden, but we're going to double other guys. We're going to switch up defense and make it look kind of weird and funky on other guys. We just don't want other guys to knock down any shots. And we're gonna try and be really aggressive running Josh Gordon off. And we're going to put a big guy on Chris Paul so that you can't even really see him and can't even really feed him the basketball. Stuff like that, to where you're either being uber aggressive towards James Harden, or you're saying, you know what, James Harden is going to get his anyways. We're just going to make sure nobody else can score 10. And I think both of those can work, but I'd really like for them to be aggressive, because the Denver Nuggets, they torched the Rockets' defense. This defense is not great. You can score on the Rockets, definitely. And so if they're just really aggressive with Harden, I think that not only would that be a more fun game to see from guys like Towns, but I just think that's the better route, and trying to keep him out of this for as long as possible. I'm not sure that Eric Gordon can win a basketball game. Just the way he's playing this year, I don't think that Chris Paul can win a basketball game either right now. I'm not sure if he's healthy enough, or I just don't know if he can go out there and take this game from the Timberwolves. I think it's got to be Harden. And so if you play really aggressive, doubling him right away when he crosses the half-court line, I think that's the way to stop this team.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Minnesota kind of showed that in their first game of the season against the Houston Rockets, where they did win at home 103-91, which was, a good game, because it was kind of like redemption from the playoff series. It was a double-digit win. And in that game, you had Chris Paul being taken out of the game. He was like 1-for-8. He played 36 minutes, didn't do anything, had 5 turnovers, terrible game. James Harden only shot 17 times, so obviously we're going to see twice that in this game. He's just going to be a different player. And Clint Capella got a lot of the bulk of the playing time on the offensive end in this one. So without Capella in here, they're just going to give those shots to Harden. And like I just said previously, Harden will get like 30 shot attempts in this one. And that's just what he's been doing, for better or worse. Like against the OKC game, he shot, let's see here, I think it was really bad. Like I think he shot like, it was 11 of 28. So it's really, really bad basketball sometimes when he's off his game, because he'll just like start popping shots up. And he had 5 turnovers, so you have to watch out for things like that. Just the bad thing about this game is going into it, the negative thing right off the page is that we don't have Robert Covington to put on James Harden like we did in our past game against him. And that's obviously really going to hurt, because he's our best defender. I'm interested to see how Ryan Saunders goes about defending Harden. Like how you said, is he going to bring Towns like they did Jokic with Denver? He already noted that Darius Arch is getting the start again, but I'd be interested to see if he gives Josh Okogie a lot of the minutes on James Harden, which would be a lot to ask of the rookie. But I'm not really too sure what ISO defender he could use, especially if Andrew Wiggins is out in this one, since he's our longest wing, who he's going to try to use. And if it's Jeff Teague, it's Jeff Teague. That's not a problem. It is what it is. It doesn't really matter who the ISO defender is, because Harden's going to tear them apart most likely. But I would like to see something like how Denver used Jokic, or how OKC used Steven Adams a couple days ago, where the Houston lost to OKC, where he went a lot to the perimeter to try to block off Harden's vision so he can just pull up a three or get a nice pass in there, or from Chris Paul too. So, yeah, I do agree with your notion that if you kind of like let Harden kind of get his points, hopefully inefficiently, then everybody else will kind of carry along. And then we can kind of try to win this one out like how we did against the Clippers with Lou Williams at 45. I just think there is a world where we can hold Harden to a bad shooting night where he does shoot 30 times and like 10 makes, kind of like that game against the 11 of 28. So if we can kind of do that and he can kind of go into this Lakers or Warriors game with a couple more losses there, this could be the beginning to a downtrend for Houston, I hope, because it feels good in Minnesota right now. The players are happy. It was a huge win against the Clippers. Honestly, it was unexpected. All around ran a list in Minnesota, not just us too. So I think this is it's a good sign for tonight.
Hopefully trending in the other direction. Just want to leave with a couple of things. First of all, as far as injuries, it looks like Josh Okogie is expected to suit up tonight. And while Rose has that ankle soreness still, he's going to be playing tonight. And that'll be important. Fun to see maybe some Derrick Rose and James Harden go back and forth. The other thing is, as far as defensive, offensive rating and net rating, at home, the net rating for the Rockets is a plus 4.3. On the road, it's a plus 0.2. So their difference between their offense and defense, what they're gaining versus what they're letting up, is slim to none on the road. And you're losing pace, you're losing efficiency. I mean, this team is going to give up a lot of points, especially on the road. And so if you're the Timberwolves and you're at home and you've got Karl-Anthony Towns playing really well and he has to go up against Kenneth Faried, who just got off the couch a couple months ago, and you're going up against some wings like Eric Gordon, who just have had spotty seasons, and you've got your guy in Derrick Rose, a scorer, coming back, and you can throw some long lineups that could give them trouble like you saw against OKC. I think that this one can slip this one past the Rockets. You can slip a win past the Rockets. And while we were maybe down on this team last week, I mean, I still stand by that take that if you lose these couple of games, then you're basically in full tank mode because there's no hope. But if you can generate some wins and prove that you can beat these kind of opponents going into this tough stretch, maybe there is a little hope. Maybe you're showing a little more mental toughness, but maybe I'm getting too excited about this team after just one win.
Yeah, so if Minnesota doesn't get the win tonight, they have New York on Friday, and it's in Madison Square Garden. Like how I've said before, New York loves Dennis Smith Jr. and DeAndre Jordan, so that's just kind of a hype town to go to right now, so it would be kind of difficult, even though they're a really bad basketball team. Then we play at Milwaukee on Saturday on a back-to-back, which is not good news. That's probably the second or third best team in the league right now. And then you have Sacramento on Monday. So these games are huge, especially with that Sacramento on Monday, because you could literally see Minnesota jump into the eighth seed by Monday night, right? If they can somehow get away with the winning against Houston tonight, which would be huge at home, which they've already done this season, then go to Friday at New York, play a really bad 12-win basketball team, then go to Saturday at Milwaukee. Somehow that's the hardest one. I think it's the hardest game, even harder than Houston. When in Milwaukee on a back-to-back, and then come back on Monday night and play Sacramento, you'll be tied for the eighth seed. And I think that's where Minnesota's mindset has to be right now. And I think if I'm Ryan Saunders, I'm putting those four games on the chalkboard tonight and being like, this is what we need to do. This is how we get in the playoffs. Everyone's been talking about how we need to tank. Everyone's been talking about how what's wrong with us. And there's only like 25 games in regular season. What are we going to do? We can get in the playoffs in four games right now. Let's do it. And I think that would get me going. I'd be excited. So I'm going to go with Minnesota going away with the win tonight. I don't see why not. At this point, I'm going to take Russell Westbrook's motto, why not? And I'm just going to hope in this one against Houston. And I hope that they can pull away with the win going into this Wednesday night game before Friday night against New York.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, if that doesn't motivate you, then they're not making the playoffs. If you can't get motivated absolutely by that, then you're not going to make the playoffs anyway, so it doesn't matter. As far as this game, I'll be taking the over. So we'll see what happens, and we'll be bringing and breaking down all the action tomorrow from this Rockets game, as well as looking ahead to what's next for the Timberwolves. And then stay on the lookout, because we're also going to be talking later in the week, trying to get somebody from New York on the show to talk about the Knicks and about why they should just give this Timberwolves team the win before they even get to the city, because the New York Knicks don't want to win games. Come on. They don't want to win games. Don't try and win this one. All right. That's it for us. Thank you so much for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.